Okay, good afternoon. Let's see. This is Jeremiah 8, verses 4 to 7. The accent of this pericope is noted by the punning on the root of the verb shuv, to return, to turn. And that's what gives its probably orientation in this last Sundays of the church year. Necessity for repenting and turning around. And it begins, and my poor vision and the poor light in here makes it almost impossible for me to read this Hebrew out loud. So maybe I can just translate as I go along here. And God said, and you will say to them, thus says Yahweh. Now we have an interrogative, hey. Will they fall down and not they will rise? Well, the interrogative, hey, would do double duty throughout, so that this would be a continuation of a question. Will they fall down and will they not arise? Or is that required? I mean, you could say, will they fall down and they will not arise? Or it could be the modal use of the imperfect. Will they fall down and would they not? Should they not? Could they not? Then it continues, im. Now, im can mean or, it can mean indeed, or it can occasionally simply introduce another question. So it could be simply a question mark, functioning as the interrogative, hey. They shall, well, now here it's singular. So the first is a plural, and now it goes to singular. Is that referring to the people collectively, or does it refer just to one person, indefinite? He will, or is it a question? He will shuv, return, or turn away, or return. And then, v'lo yashuv, and not, and it's the same root. So obviously, in this clause, we have the same root, but used in different senses. One appears to be parallel to fall, and then the other one, so that would be to turn away, and then the shuv would be, and the last one would be to turn back or return, the opposite, just as you have it parallel to kum, to stand up. Well, I'm going to leave it hanging at that, kind of ambiguous, whether this is a question or... I think it's rhetorical, in any case, seeking a certain sort of consideration and deliberation on the part of the hearer or the reader. Verse 5. Why? Then this next form is rather difficult. It does not seem to be pointed quite correctly. If it's feminine, it doesn't have anything to agree with the feminine. Am is a masculine thing, and so it could be, if it were pointed with a seire under the first bait, shoveva, then it would be a proper word, which means faithlessness or backsliding. And that seems to be appropriate because of the parallel in the next stick, which also is a synonym for a backsliding or a turning away or a faithlessness or apostasy. So I'm going to take it as though it were pointed with a seire under the bait. Why backsliding, the backsliding of this people? Why is there this backsliding of the people? Jerusalem, Mashuvah, there's the term for apostasy. Jerusalem is an apostasy, Nitzachath, I can't see that pointing, Nitzachath it probably is, Nitzachath, there it is. That's a word which means perpetual or lasting. I would think that the Madua would still control this last part. So it'd be why the backsliding of this people, why the constant or continuing lasting apostasy of Jerusalem. Next line. They hold fast, but I think is a alternate for the direct object marker. They hold fast to Termoth, which is the word for deceitfulness. So they're holding strongly to, they're clinging to, holding fast to deceitfulness. May Anu, they refuse, Lashuv, to return. Well, now we're getting more specific and definite. This is a definite statement. Whereas before it was, why would they do this? Will they fall down and will they arise? Or will they not arise? Will they return? Will they turn away and not return? Now this clinches it. They refuse to repent, to return. Verse 6. I considered Hifil of Keshav, it does not have any particular causative meaning. It just means I paid attention to. And you could translate this as present as well. It's somewhat of a deliberative term. I consider, and I hear. It's a wow. Now, this is a wow consecutive on the imperfect so that it converts it. So I consider and I hear, Lo Cain Yadaberu. Not Cain, they speak. Cain, that's a word which means yes. Okay, in modern Hebrew today, if an answer to a question is affirmative, then it would be answered yes. Or so it would be. They don't respond positively to my calls for them to repent and return. So he's listening and he's paying attention, but he doesn't hear anybody responding appropriately. Next line, Ein Ish. There is no one. Necham, now that would be the participle, which matches up with the ain. Ain usually negates participles. Nifal is the nifal from Necham. No one repents concerning Ra'atho, his evil. Lamor saying, Ma'ashithi, what have I done? Ma'ashithi, what have I done? Of course, now, ma, this indicates another rhetorical question. It's rather an exclamation. What have I done? Next line. Kulo. Probably a textual problem with this. But it would mean all. All have turned aside from their running. Again, a little problem with the pointing on this. It's defective here, and it probably comes from the root, which means roots, to run. So everyone has turned away on his own running instead of running the way of the Lord, the Derech Yahweh. Now they're running their own path. Kasus, like a horse. Shotef, that's a word that means flooding. It comes from the verb flood, shotaf, to flood. Well, what kind of flooding is this? It's ba milchama, in battle. Like a horse flooding in battle. Now, I think maybe that sus here in this case would be a collective. It often is like horse and chariot and bow and so forth, that it refers to a whole flood of horses charging headlong in the battle. So that's what the people are compared to. A war horse that's, you know, just snorting and roaring and just charging headlong into the battle line without consideration at all. Verse 7, even also indeed. Indeed, the Hasida, the stork in the heavens, Yada'ah, knows Mo'adeha, her season times, her time of seasons. Now, the stork isn't as familiar to us, but Europeans are very familiar with these. They are migratory birds, and it's sort of axiomatic, something like the swallows of Capistrano, that they come back precisely at the exact same time, going many, many miles, thousands of miles. And so also the next birds that are mentioned here, the tour, that's the word for the turtle dove. And the next one is printed with a wow, although it probably should be a yod, as the kathiv indicates. As the kere would indicate, with the hirik underneath it, so that this refers to a bird, probably the swift. And then the last one is the swallow. What do? They guard, they keep the time of their coming. In great contrast to that, but my people does not know the mishpat of Yahweh. Okay, are there any questions or any comments concerning the linguistic part of it? We've got about 2 minutes left, I think. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It seems to fit the context a little more smoothly, doesn't it? Right. Okay, now I have developed this into a sermon study in the last issue of the Concordia Journal, and where I take off from this is on these similes with animal behavior. So Israel is compared to this war horse that's just charging headlong into battle, and they should be taking lessons from the birds instead. It occurred to me that Barbara Walters, in concluding many of her interviews, asked very seriously the question: "If you were an animal, how would you describe yourself in terms of the choice of animal that you are, see yourself as, or that you'd like to be?" And I, for a long time, I thought this rather frivolous. But it occurred to me then that this was a common thing of wisdom material from the ancient world. It was popularized by Aesop, perhaps, or probably a legendary figure, fiction, but the Aesop's fables go all the way back to India as well as Egypt. It really isn't terribly Greek. But anyway, his portrayal of human behavior in terms of animals. And it also occurred to me that this is an argument from the lesser to the greater,
that the animals know the seasons of God better than people.
And it seems to me that, Aesop and so forth portrayed the strength, the eyesight ability of eagles, and the swiftness of leopards, and the strength of lions and so forth, that their innate powers from creation seem to be not as affected or abated as human capacity, not only physical, but of course also especially the spiritual. So that this gives us an occasion to take a lesson from the animals, to learn from the animals. And it has to do with knowing the times and seasons of God. Of course, we don't know the time when the Lord will come again, but Israel knew about the Mishpat, the judging of God in terms of law and gospel. They should have known, they had the Word of God, but they failed to act in accord with that in faith. They really didn't know it. So the comparison of what kind of animal are you going to be? Are you just going to headlong without consideration to God's Word, just do what you want to do, full speed ahead, that sort of thing? Or are you going to be like a bird in the sense of knowing when it's time to go home? Okay, thank you.